Good Wednesday morning. Welcome back to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Brady Bowman with you here with Riley County Historical Museum Director Cheryl Collins. Also, Chuck Tannehill is in studio, who's recently put together a book called An Early History of the Manhattan Fire Department, the Volunteer Period. And we talked a lot about that this morning. But now I want to shift gears a little bit and really kind of did what sparked asking you, Cheryl, to come in is I like to run around City Park from time to time. I don't live too far away from it, so I like to get in some jogs and a little bit of exercise around City Park. And I'm jogging around City Park, and you notice that it says Clarenberg Trail when you're going around City Park. And I was just wondering, like, you know, who is this person and what is the history behind that? And, of course, I thought, well, I know Cheryl Collins probably knows this. So here you are, and I thought maybe you could answer that question.
Well, I'm glad to. Professor Rudy Clarenberg was a professor of veterinary medicine at K-State. He died in 1991 at the age of 60, and his wife provided money to set up that trail around City Park. Rudy Clarenberg was a really interesting person. He and his wife moved here in 1966 to accept the position as a professor, but he'd grown up in the Netherlands. And in fact, had to be hidden. He was Jewish and had to be hidden during the Nazi period in the Netherlands.
Oh, really?
Completed his education. And then they came to the United States. He served on the USD 383 school board in 84 to 86 and was also president of the Manhattan Jewish congregation. He was an accomplished person, spoke seven languages, and studied classical guitar. His wife also was a survivor of the Nazi period in the Netherlands and was a really interesting person herself, Margalith Clarenberg. She was president of the Friends of Sunset Zoo and a founder and a board member of the Manhattan Arts Center. She died in 2002, and both of them are buried in Sunrise Cemetery.
Really interesting. See, I knew there was some really interesting story behind that.
And there's always a story behind it. And that's one of the things I love about local history is when you know all those stories, then you're connected to that. You're connected by a thread to that past. So I love next time you run around City Park and see Clarenberg Trail, you'll know exactly who Mr. Clarenberg was.
It has a little bit of extra pop to it now.
That's,
And you brought over some more information talking about City Park as well.
Well, City Park's really a pretty fascinating place. And, of course, it was laid out with the original plat in 1857. But interestingly enough, they had to buy that, which corner was that? They had to buy the northwest corner because the part closest to campus because they didn't get title to it. And the reason they didn't get title to it was they were – the town founders were going to have someone do a homestead on that portion of land. But unfortunately, someone had got there first, and they ran Mr. Haskell off. But Mr. Haskell was an attorney, and so Mr. Haskell took him to court, and he won. So they didn't get title to that piece of ground, and they had to buy that corner to square off City Park. So when you see the early maps of Manhattan, that little corner of City Park sticks out in there in the part that they didn't get. So it makes an odd-shaped original plat.
And you said that northwest corner of City Park. Is that where the...
The corner of Fremont and 14th Street.
Okay.
And right over there. And so it's interesting that how things work out. And, of course, you know how the streets don't line up quite right. When you go west from 14th Street, and that, of course, is because they didn't get that portion of town in the original plat, so it didn't get laid out in the original laying out of streets. It came later.
That makes sense. It wasn't like purposely that they didn't line them up, right? It was out
right.
of their control at the time.
There's always those quirks of history. I know Chuck was talking about how the street name change makes it hard to research.
It was really confusing originally because the first fire station actually that had firehouse was always talked about as being on 2nd Street. And then suddenly you go along farther and researching it and it says 3rd Street.
And it didn't move.
No. And they changed what was Wyandotte Street to First Street, and they rearranged all the streets. But Juliet was something special to people and still is. And so they kept the name Juliet and then just kept numbering all the other streets.
Very, very interesting. Brady Bowman here with Riley County Historical Museum Director Cheryl Collins, and also Chuck Tannehill, who's recently written assembled a book about the early days of the Manhattan Fire Department and the volunteer period. If you have any history questions, and hopefully we can answer them maybe right now. If not, we'll have them back, and we'll do some research. 785-537-1350 is the number to call. Those phone lines are open. And Cheryl, looking at this information you brought, talking about City Park, that you mentioned that there was discussion of breaking it apart and selling some of it off in the 1880s and 1890s.
Yes, they had a big fight about it. City Park was kind of far out there. You know, as Chuck was mentioning, the campus was a distance away from downtown, which is where the main settlement of Manhattan was located. And I think a lot of folks saw City Park as a big open space, so why not break it into lots and sell it and have more housing? And I think in the 80s and 90s, again, there was hard times. We had some real national financial reverses, and that trickled down certainly to here. And I think things were tight enough, they were just looking at possible ways to make money. So I'm really glad that they did not decide to sell off City Park, and we still have that today. But that definitely was one of the options that they looked at a little bit.
And those things are always pretty interesting to me when you look at it. Now, City Park is really beloved now, and everybody in town in the community seems to love the way it's set up now. To think that at one point that they were thinking about piecing it off, it just seems crazy to think now.
You always have choices in life, so it's interesting to look back and see what could have happened if you'd made a different choice. And, of course, we're making those choices today.
That's true. Very true. You also have some information here about a brick factory.
Well,
at 11th and Leavenworth.
Yeah, the Ulrich brothers had a brick factory down there, and reputedly that sink in front of Johnny Caw was one of the areas that they had dug their clay to make bricks. We still have some Manhattan brick houses around town. The Ulrich Dairy House at 123 North 8th Street is one, and the Platt House at 205 Claflin Road, where the Genealogical Society is today, is also one of those Manhattan brick houses. You can recognize them because it's a very soft brick. It wasn't a great brick. But it's interesting that we did have some brick making here in the 1860s and 70s.
And that's really interesting about that depression there in front of Johnny Caw. That makes more sense now.
Well, and some folks may remember when there was a rock garden there. The Rotary Club put in a rock garden in that area, and it was a rock garden for a number of years.
And you also have some information. The Blue and Kansas Valley Fair was held in City Park in the 1870s and 1880s.
Yeah, that was our fairgrounds. And Chuck, one of the things that he discusses is that floral hall, which is that brick or stone building that they call the roundhouse now, was built in 1875, and it was built for use as a fair building when they were having the fair down there. And then in later years, when they moved the fair out of that, they used it for a number of purposes. A pest house, which is where they would, you know, put people sick with communicable diseases to quarantine them. They used it for that. And then they also
they had fire equipment stored there. Right before Aggieville Fire Department started, they had been storing different equipment there. And I think that was originally in response to the demands by the Aggieville merchants to have some kind of fire protection there. I don't think they found it very satisfactory because you need equipment, but you also need staffing.
Right.
And so they wanted to make sure that they had personnel available and it was accessible for them. So that's when they created the Aggieville Fire Department.
And Cheryl, seeing some of the information you brought with us this morning, that horse races were held at City Park at one point.
Horse races were kind of a big part of the fair for a long time. And I think it's really interesting that for a number of years, you could still physically see in City Park where that horse track was when you looked at an aerial photograph. I'm not sure if today, I'll have to go out to Google aerial looking or what GIS has of aerial pictures to see if you can still see where that horse track was. The horse track was kind of controversial because, of course, you have gambling
right
along with horse racing. And Manhattan was a big prohibition town, and I think alcohol was involved in some cases, too, and that was a problem.
Horse racing, alcohol, and gambling. Those
yeah.
usually go
so,
together.
So I think the horse racing was controversial, and I think eventually the interest in it kind of died down, and it was moved elsewhere, I mean, to other communities.
And how big was this track? Exactly where at City Park was this track?
I'd have to go back and look at the maps for sure, but it was about half of City Park was the where the extent of the racetrack.
That's fascinating.
Do you
just
have
some
one
of
that
this stuff
kind of shows how that fit in there?
Oh, you can kind of see, yeah. If you kind of want to explain it a little bit. Well, I'll tell you what, folks, just go
we'll
to
have
the
to come back
museum,
about.
Check out the book Chuck put together, and you can find that picture. And about out of time this morning before we get ready for a very early K-State women's basketball. We'll start pregame here in just a minute or two. But Cheryl Collins, Chuck Tannehill, thanks so much for coming on. We'll have to do this again, I think. I think we need to make this a thing.
I'd love to. And I'd love to know what listeners would like to hear about, too.
Oh, absolutely. Plenty of history here in Manhattan and in Riley County to check out. And remind folks, where are you at with the historical museum?
The Riley County Historical Museum is at 2309 Claflin Road, and that's on Claflin between College and Sunset. And it's free, and we're open 8:30 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 2 to 5 Saturday and Sunday.
Very good. Thanks so much for coming on. Also, thanks to Bill Kennedy and Mary Beth Kiefer with Flint Hills Breadbasket talking about the Super Bowl again Saturday. A lot of our grocery stores will be out there ready for you to grab some extra things that help folks out. This has been In Focus. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
All right. Thank you very much, Brady. It's going to be a little bit of a different day here on K-Man. Not going to be having much of the Rush Limbaugh show because of K-State women's basketball, but coming up at 2, regularly scheduled Dan Patrick show from 2 to 4. Full episode of the game from 4 to 6 here on KMAN, but coming up next with a 10:30 tip-off, it is the K-State women's basketball team looking for 2 wins in a row in Big 12 play as they're down in Norman to take on the Oklahoma Sooners. Pre-game next on News Radio KMAN.
KS State Bank wants to be your bank. Find the solution you've been looking for at KSStateBank.com. Member FDIC Equal.